a good point guard, here's what she does. She drives through a full court press, protecting the ball, keeping her head up because she needs to keep her eye on the basket. And she knows exactly when to pass the ball so that the team can win. And that is what I'm doing, keeping our eye on the ball.
Was that a no-hitter? That was Alaska Governor Sarah Palin back on July 3rd attempting to explain the reasons for her resignation. It was a far cry from this scene last summer at the Republican National Convention.
I will be honored to accept your nomination for Vice President of the United States.
And the cheers go on and on and on. At least they did at that time. Palin has gone from the apple of the Republican Party's eye to, you know, nobody really knows. On Sunday, Palin hands the keys to the governor's mansion to her lieutenant, Sean Parnell. What's next? What will Governor Palin's legacy be? We have a couple folks to help answer that. Libby Casey, reporter for the Alaska Public Radio Network, and here in studio, Bernadette Malone, former editor at Sentinel, which is an imprint of Penguin Publishers. Welcome to both of you. And Libby, let me start with you. Where does Sarah Palin stand in the history of Alaskan governors?
It's early to say. Remember, she's only been a governor for 2.5 years, and she's leaving her term 18 months early. And when people look back, it's likely to be divided by the pre-VP run and the post-VP run, because she does have things that may add to her brief legacy, raising oil taxes in the state, working on getting a natural gas pipeline, ethics reform, which it turns out may need to be reformed because she's been the test case and it hasn't really worked out so well. But since she's been back after running for vice president, things have not gone well. There's been a lot of conflict and strife, and as we all know, she's passing the ball. She's getting out of the game. She's ejecting herself. So it's a lot of the legacy may be determined by what the lieutenant governor does and how he decides to carry on what she started.
How much relief is there for Alaskans that she is stepping down?
Well, you know, it's really, when I talk to people down here in the lower 48, I'm in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm. I love the lower 48, by the way.
That's what we call it. Republicans say, good for her. You know, this is the strong base. Good for her. Way to make a tough stand. Alaskans do not feel that way. By and large, they're still flummoxed by the fact that she's made this decision, and by and large, very disappointed. But there is a sense of relief because the lieutenant governor, Sean Parnell, is seen as being a no-drama kind of guy, and the biggest change is going to be the personality. He's keeping a lot of cabinet and other key staff. And it's interesting that when I talk to staffers, they're staying, and they say the reason why is because they feel like they owe it to the people of Alaska to stay at their post. Very different than what Sarah Palin is doing. So I think Alaskans are, by and large, ready to turn a new chapter and move forward.
Well, speaking of turning a new chapter, it's a perfect metaphor because, you know, Bernadette Malone, you are a former editor at Sentinel, an imprint of Penguin Publishers. And what she is definitely going to be doing is creating some pages to turn. She's going to be doing a book. Tell us a little bit about that project.
Well, she has a memoir, autobiography, coming out in time for Mother's Day 2010. She has a co-writer, which is not at all unusual when a politician writes a book. And the advance for the book is reportedly very handsome. I've seen figures ranging from $7 million to $11 million. So obviously her publisher is convinced that she's still the apple of the Republican Party's eye.
I understand the book is going to be sold pretty much in two versions, one marketed to, you know, what you call mainstream audiences, another specifically targeted at Christian audiences. How will that help sales?
Well, that will help sales because the Christian audience is much bigger than many people in the mainstream understand. Remember when everybody was blindsided by the success of Mel Gibson's movie The Passion? Christian Americans buy books, they go to movies, and New York Publishing isn't always on top of that. In this case, I think they are. They're doing a co-deal with Harper and their Christian imprint, or subsidiary, I should say, Zondervan. And I think Sarah Palin's book may sell very well indeed.
You know, politicians aren't necessarily known. Okay, Ulysses S. Grant, I'll give you him. But after him, with the exception of Barack Obama's early book, when do they ever write a compelling book? What are we going to see on those pages?
Well, many say Barack Obama's book was compelling. So,
well, the first
who knows?
One.
Right,
but after
right.
he was actually in office,
right,
news. Let's
exactly.
get real. So she's been in office. What are we going to see? Is it going to put me to sleep or keep me up?
Depends on what her future plans are. If she's running for president, I don't expect her to say anything terribly controversial, or I don't expect her to put too much red meat in the book. If she's not running for president, and this is anyone's guess at this point, I think she could write a very candid tell-all. I think she can make it very Christian. position and very conservative and not have to worry about it hurting her electoral prospects.
Isn't, if she was going to run for office, wouldn't she actually do that anyway, given that that's what her base is?
If she were running for office in 2012, she'd probably be coached to not do or say anything too extreme in the next coming in the next couple of months.
Well, let me turn back to Libby Casey, Alaska Public Radio Network. If this is a tell-all book, what would be the key thing that she would tell Sarah Palin?
Well, we are getting a little bit of a taste of where Sarah Palin will be going next through Twitter. This is like the governor's thing. And so in 140 characters or less, she's been tweeting up a storm and talking about everything from sort of like philosophical things, you know, no rain, no rainbow. And, you know, don't whine, don't complain. She's also been talking about touring the state. She's been blasting people who are criticizing her ethics. And she also gave us a little hint of what's next. She said in a tweet recently that she will soon be sending less politically correct Twitters flying from her fingertips outside the state site. So she seems kind of chomping at the bit to get her personality out there more. And she obviously feels constrained by being in the governor's mansion. So we may get a taste of her personality more as she leaves the office. And, you know, your guest brings up a really good point. How intense and how real can she be in a book? One thing, though, that Americans seem to like about Governor Palin is this down-home, I'm a real person, you betcha, part of her personality. So she may be able to use that to her advantage and spin her story in a way that says, here are the challenges I've had, here are the successes. You know, we Americans love a story about somebody rising from the ashes and turning things into a good story.
All right. Well, Sarah Palin is definitely a good story. We are going to keep checking back in on this and want to thank you, Libby Casey, reporter for Alaska Public Radio Network, and Bernadette Malone, former editor at Sentinel, an imprint of Penguin. Thanks so much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.